Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Saints Hour, the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. And joining us today is Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager of College Personnel, Jeff Ireland, entering your 11th year, if I am not mistaken. Correct, sir?
That is correct. Good to be with you, Mike.
Thank you. As always, you are on the road, as most college personnel, all of your team and yourself included. You don't stay at home and just take phone calls. You're out on the road.
That's correct. I'm, as we say, beating the bushes.
I understand. So the first four are done. Obviously, would like to have that first W. You get 31-19, the final in Buffalo. Just a hostile environment, tough place to win. They haven't lost there since November of 23 in the regular season. You do a lot of things right. 21-16, start of the fourth, make it 21-19. Again, you are judged on wins and losses. We get it. We all get it. But you take the positives of a young, new, fresh-looking faces and build on that, correct?
Well, you do. You know, there was a lot of things we did right and obviously some things we didn't do right. But I thought we took a step forward in the right direction in terms of complementary football. You know, we cut down on our penalties, just did some, you know, did some right things in the game that make us feel like we're getting better. That's a tough place to win. It's a tough team. You know, obviously at the end of the day, we didn't get it done. And until we go back to the drawing board and we try to make some of those corrections to where we're, you know, falling short. And I think our coaches have a great outlook on this week. I was there on Monday and, you know, we're still positive. You know, the team is staying together. Alan, Brandon, Doug, they're all doing a great job, Phil. Know, keeping the team together and, you know, really kind of excited to see how we play on, you know, this Sunday.
And not that you needed it, but you have this opportunity to show how penalties so impact a game, because you didn't, I think you had four and some of those, one of those was late, but they had 11 and it ended up, one of them was a holding on a punt that they finally got right. And so instead of you having the ball at your own 31, you had it at their 49. So, again, it's not like you needed examples of impact, but it was impactful for Buffalo. They were – it impacted their game. And so you got to see the flip side a little bit of how it impacts another team.
Now, there's no doubt, because those did impact our game really the first 3 weeks. Those impacted our game. In the negative. So we saw this week where, you know, you can have a really good football team and high penalties. They will change the outcome of a game. And unfortunately, you know, they were able to overcome some of their penalties. And first through 3 weeks of the year, we weren't able to overcome some of those penalties. So just kind of a difference in where those two teams are right now. But we're getting there. I'm excited about this young team.
We won't spend a lot of time looking back at Buffalo, but the ability, whether by interception, punt return penalties, to start that many possessions, four of them in their territory, just, again, enables a teaching experience of you're not going to get that many chances against a team like Buffalo. And when you do, you need to cash in. And those missed opportunities played such a huge factor in the final outcome.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Mike. You know, when you have, you know, that many possessions on that side of the football, you got to take advantage of it. The interception we threw down there in the red zone, that was a tough one to overcome. That was would have put us in a really good position in the first half. And, you know, whenever you're having to kick field goals and settle for 3 points down there in the red zone, you know, those aren't ideal either, especially with a team like that. You got to score touchdowns. But again, young quarterback, kind of a young football team and a lot of senses, and we'll learn from those things and we'll get better at it.
Your thoughts about Spencer and his start? I mean, fifth rounder. He and Tyler Shuck both unbelievably celebrated their a birthday on the same day, born a year apart in Arizona. But just his ability, certainly, you know, with his feet in the last game, but it just overall, I kind of wipe out the Seattle game. There were so many, it was such an aberration to the other three games. Your thoughts about Spencer and his progression?
I think he's gotten better. Maybe they take the Seattle game out, but I think he's gotten better every week, especially this week. He's really done a really good job protecting the football. For the most part, he's making better decisions. He's a quick processor of information, and he's got a really live arm. He gets the ball out very quickly. I like to see a little bit better location on some balls. Just putting it in front of the ball, in front of the receiver, so the receiver can run after the catch. So those are the little things he's getting better at. You can see him getting better each week. Still some things to grow with and get better at, just a couple corrections here and there. Maybe he should have pitched the ball to Kendre on that goal line play versus taking it. The defender played it right down the middle, so it wasn't a bad decision. But you probably want to put the ball in the hands of the ball carrier versus the quarterback. But overall, I've been very impressed with how he competes. I think his teammates respond to him very well. He's got great command of the huddle. And you're not going to get too many people with better arm talent than Spencer Rattler. He really can throw the ball. There's a couple of times he's rolling to his left. Momentum's rolling left. He throws it back to his right and puts it perfectly in the hands of the receiver. He's unfortunate that he hasn't got that win yet, but it's coming. It's coming. He's such a great competitor and really proud of how he's approached some unforeseen circumstances, but he's really competing hard and he's doing a good job.
Need to take a quick break. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour. We are with Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager, College Personnel, Jeff Ireland. Back after this on the Bullseye New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. It is the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, and talking with Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager of College Personnel, Jeff Ireland, on the road, as he said, beating the bushes, trying to find that next guy. And people probably don't appreciate the closeness. I'm not talking about necessarily personally, but the closeness that a college scout and yourself will have with your draft picks. You are tied to them. And, how they perform is kind of how you are judged. And the ability to see Kendre Miller, who we've been waiting, and to be healthy and to make runs and cutbacks and vision and the 18-yard touchdown, it's exactly what we've been waiting to see.
Well, there's no doubt. As a college director, you're tied to those guys. You saw something. Unfortunately, in Kendre's situation, we haven't seen it in the year. He was hurt last year, and there was glimpses here and there. Obviously, the first year, we were really excited about him. He kind of hurt, dinged up last year, and then, you saw it pretty quickly in training camp, So we're excited to see Kendre. You're obviously really kind of patting yourself on the back or patting the scouts on the back, for the guys that jumped on the table for him as well. And I'm just proud of really all of our draft choices this year. All of them did a pretty good job this last game, and Kendre in particular.
We were talking with Teron Armstead a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me that there was somebody for him that was jumping on the table draft night. That must be a thing? Coaches and scouts jumping on tables, beating the bushes for guys?
Well, certainly when there's a prospect at Arkansas Pine Bluff, there has to be an area scout that is identifying that player and bringing it back to the office and saying, look, I've got a guy that we should draft. And Bushrod was another one, Bloomsburg, Jari, there's guys out there that you just got to go find them, and those area scouts are the ones that are the ones finding them.
You were at Miami 2008 to 2013, the general manager. You inherited a 1-15 team, replaced, you know, half the roster, 27 new faces, nine starters. We don't use the rebuilding word around here, which is fine. I feel like it's more of a retooling. Call it whatever you want. Are there any similarities? Now, this team, not, you know, are there any similarities of what you learned in Miami that you're utilizing now?
Well, that was a completely different circumstance. You know, we do have a new head coach. When I took over Miami, we've got a new president. We've got a new vice president of football operations, Bill Parcells. We've got a change in that quarterbacks, and, you know, the locker room was different. You know, it was a completely different situation from the locker room and culture standpoint. So, you know, we needed to replace a lot of those faces to rebuild the culture of that locker room. You know, our locker room is probably one of our most prized possessions that we have with the New Orleans Saints. We have a great locker room. So I'm not necessarily turning over new faces from a culture standpoint, because we have a great culture in our locker room. We got some great leadership, you know, some great guys that love to work and have a high passion for football. You know, where we're, you know, having to turn over, maybe it's just, you know, bringing in some youth, and that was needed. I think we are tied or lead the NFL with, you know, number of young rookies that have made the active roster. I think that was 12 week one. You know, so that was needed. You know, we needed some depth at specific, you know, certain players, certain positions. And we brought in those guys to really help out our depth. And hopefully those depth players become starters in the future. And you're seeing some young guys, you know, Sanker and Quincy Riley and Stutzman and, you know, Diggs, you know, all those guys being able to come in and perform, you know, on offense. And, you know, obviously, you know, Kellen Banks is a young starter. So really excited to see what those new faces come. But I think it's a little different situation. I think this is more retool, where in Miami that was a rebuild.
And culture, you know it. You've seen it. You were in Dallas 2001 when you got there, VP of College Pro Scouting. So you had Dave Campo, and then it was your first, I'm assuming, shot with Bill Parcells. So I'm assuming that was a culture shock to go from Dave Campo to Bill Parcells, as well as Jerry Jones. And prior to that, you were in Kansas City. So you know what winning culture looks like.
No doubt. I've been around it several different times, and we have a winning culture on this football team. It's up to us as college personnel and pro personnel guys to bring the talent level up. And that's what we've got to do. We have a great locker room. We have great leadership. I think Kellen and his staff have done a terrific job of bringing our team together, not only taking over for Dennis and the culture and building on it. And I think our strength coaches have done a heck of a job getting our guys in shape and keeping us healthy. And, you know, it's a really big, it's a great team effort from all different departments. I'm just excited to see us continue to grow, you know, and continue down that path of trying to get us our first win of the season and hopefully multiple wins coming down the pike.
Did you watch the Netflix docuseries on the Cowboys, Jerry Jones and all that?
You know, I've watched bits and pieces of it. It gives me a chuckle. I have not watched all of it. Things bring back a lot of memories. But that was a different era. I was there just post that Super Bowl era. So I hear a lot of stories about what happened on the docuseries, but I was not there for those times.
Take another quick break. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. We are speaking with Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager of College Personnel, Jeff Ireland. Quick break. We'll be right back here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. We are talking with Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager of College Personnel, Jeff Ireland. I spoke with Michael Parenton earlier on this show a couple of weeks ago, and I said, is there any amount of money, as he's the pro personnel guy, is there any amount of money I could pay you to take your job, Jeff Ireland's job? And he was like, nope. Man, the college landscape, NIL, coaches leaving because they're tired of having to recruit their own players in the locker rooms after games, high school kids getting $4 million to go to college. Your job is a different animal than it was just a few years ago.
There's no doubt. And it's continuing to change. I mean, it seems like every year there's a whole new set of rules for college, NIL and transfer portal and collective. And, I'm learning the rules just like the college recruiters and the new college GMs are learning the rules. So, there's a lot of different questions to ask and to be answered, coming, I was at a school today, I was at Auburn, and there's, transfers from different schools, from G5 schools, and, we didn't really know the answer to some of those questions, 10 years ago. We have a pretty good feel for a couple of questions, like, how well does a kid deal with his money? How's he spending it? Is he saving it? We got a better feel for that now than we ever did. And it's, it's not surprising and then yet surprising that, some guys in college, they get money for the very first time. What do? They go out and buy two cars. Where do they park them? Well, they park them in the dormitory parking lot. They got two cars, they're freshmen. I don't know that they're red flags, but they're caution flags on how that kid's going to take care of his money. And there's a lot of education that goes into that. But, you have to really do a lot of digging because, you're going to get people that know players from different schools. And so it's put a lot of onus on us as scouts to communicate and, cross-reference where a guy's been, where a guy is, in some cases, two or three different schools. So we're doing a lot of different calling around to different schools and finding out information from different coaches. And so it really puts a lot of onus on, the scouts and their resources and sources of information, from school to school to school.
Well, I know because I've asked you this question every year. We do this every year, but I wouldn't keep asking the same question. But the landscape keeps changing, so it's a new question about the same thing. So I guess, and there was a time, if you had a kid that went to four different schools, you'd go, "Whoa, is he a problem?" Right now, you don't even think twice about it. And initially, we thought, "Well, that's COVID," but I don't think it's gonna. That's the new norm. So two questions. Yes, that's the new norm, right? And it's not a red flag to see a kid at four schools, but does not the NC2A have to do something, a cap or something, or are we just going to go 100 miles an hour forever?
I think the next year we'll see a little bit more of a constant set of rules. I think there will be a cap for most places. There'll be the one transfer portal window, which will happen in January and not one in the spring. So I think that's going to settle things down a little bit. It's not a red flag when you see a guy transfer two or three times. He's just chasing opportunity. At least that's in most cases. He's chasing opportunity and chasing money in most cases. You got to follow the tape, where the kid's been and opportunity and play time. And if the kid is chasing opportunity and not getting to play, then maybe that's the bigger red flag than anything else, is that he's chasing the opportunity where there's a better opportunity, yet he's failing to take advantage of that opportunity and get play time. That has happened. And but the guy's chasing opportunity to get a better situation and he's playing and he's taking advantage of that opportunity, then certainly that's good for him and good for us because we're getting to see him play and produce and so that gives us a better evaluation of the person and the player.
A little later in this show, in fact, coming up after this segment, we're going to talk to your third round pick from the University of Virginia, Jonas Sanker, who had this, Tyron retires first day of camp. And then, and to me, Julian Blackman was just a gift to have found on the street. And he was going to have this great learning time, and then Julian gets hurt. Jonas has one defensive snap in week one at Arizona, and then 100% of the snaps in week two in San Francisco, and comes up with eight tackles in Buffalo, the interception of Josh Allen, a football that will be on his mantle for sure, three PDs. I mean, that kid has, you talk about impact draftees, he is one of them.
Yeah, he certainly has. He's gotten better week after week. Someone that we were super excited about and the opportunity to draft him. I remember on draft day, we had him a little higher on our board, and we're excited that he fell to us. And we felt like if he had to play, there'd be some growing pains. And obviously with rookies, there are growing pains. But Jonas has certainly made an elite interception the other day. That wasn't just a great play. That was an elite playmaking opportunity, and he took advantage of it. There's not too many people in the NFL that can make that play, which makes us all as evaluators super excited about the future and excited for him to continue to get better.
You still have three games before you play your first division game. The scheduling is always befuddling to me, but the Giants come into town and then the New England Patriots. Your next two games, they're all important. Let me say that off the top. But it's time, it feels like, where you've built this foundation, progressing in the right direction. Now it's time to go out and get that W so that, one, we can stop talking about the Spencer Rattler story, and two, just for the whole team. It feels like you've done everything right to this point except get that W.
Well, that's the way we feel, for sure. And you just never know when, the team's going to come together and have that perfect game. And, we all know that right now we've got to play clean games. That's just kind of where we're at as a team, is that we got to play clean. We got to play very sound situationally. And we'd love to get that win. And we've got two home games coming up. Great opportunity to show our fans that we are building and that we are coming together, and that we're capable of closing out games in the fourth quarter, and that's what we got to do as a unit to come together and start closing these games out when we have a team in our sights. And I know that's something that our coaching staff is pressing upon our players, is, look, fellas, we've played some really good football at times during the season so far. I mean, we played some really good football. There's some really good snaps on the tape. But we have to close out our opponent when we had the dagger in our hand. And let's go get it.
Well, appreciate your time as always. 85 can be, a little tedious at times. Stay safe, and we will talk to you on Sunday. Best of luck.
Sounds great, Mike. Thanks for having me. Good luck to you.